Good morning. How's everybody? Yeah, hey, that's cool. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Tell him thanks for something in your life. We're going to open the day a little differently. I don't know if you grabbed communion on the way in, but if you didn't, we're going to have a moment where you can go grab, communion elements. You know, one of the stories that repeats itself when Christ was walking the earth was people were desperate to get to him. And you would find sometimes, whether it's the woman pushing through the crowd and she just set her mind, I have to get to Jesus. Or whether it's, someone across town and they hear he's in a house and he's ministering, and you find that they take this long journey because they have to get to Jesus. And this week, as I've been praying for this Sunday, and just, one of the prayers I always ask is, God, where are you at? Because I believe he inhabits all time, so he was already here. We just had to get here on the calendar. And, sometimes we have that same type of week going on in our life, to where we come in some Sundays and we get to celebrate. We've had a good day or a good week, or it's not been a bad week. And so we come in here kind of autopilot. And the truth is, sometimes we have a week from hell, and we kind of put it in our mind, I just need to get to church. And you're not talking about the building. You're not talking about Bob. You're not talking about the stuff. You're really talking about the presence of God, the hope that we believe we run into when we get together. Amen. And as I was praying for this week and just really reflecting on, how today would go, that's really what I felt God was kind of saying is, whether that's one person or many people, there are people coming in that they're living on a thread right now. They're right on the edge. And they're kind of, whether they've said it to somebody, they've lived it in their spirit, I just need to get in touch with Christ. And so we're going to take a moment today and just reflect on Christ and take communion. And so you can participate with that. If you didn't get communion, right out the aisles you just walked in on the table back there, there are the elements. So why don't we all just stand, say hi to somebody, and take a moment, kind of get a breath, but also make your way back there. Supper, it's what we call the Last Supper. It was the last meal he was going to share with his disciples, with his friends, the apostles. And this is what he told them. He said, paraphrasing, he said, I've really been looking forward to this moment with you. And I believe there's moments like that as we walk with Christ, to where, he knew you were coming here, for some of you, before you knew you were coming here. And he knows exactly what you're going through. And about a year ago, I'll say, Sean and I went and visited a church. And, I was feeling kind of detached from God and kind of battling through things. And it was in another movie theater, actually. And the pastor just kind of opened and said, we're gonna open with communion today. And I've always kind of believed that, communion needs to be talked about and taught about and walked through, and it's this thing. And he kind of just said, so if you want to do communion today, make sure you have the cup and the bread. And then he just kind of let us walk through that on our own. And for me, it was one of those mark your calendar kind of moments where God just kind of split the skies and just said, hey, I've been looking forward to this moment with you. And so today, without any, you know, dragging it out and walking through and teaching and all, I'd like for us to just share in communion today. Christ, he said the bread, which is on top of the cup, by the way, is his body that was broken for you. Take and eat. And then the cup. He said the cup was the blood that was going to be spilled out, and it was the New Testament, the covenant of grace. The Bible says that his grace is sufficient, and that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I don't know where you're at with Christ today, but I know his grace is greater than anything you've ever done. And so whatever you need from him today, by faith, receive it. Let's drink the cup. Father, you're incredible. I thank you, God, that we have a place, a sanctuary, a refuge, a place where we could come in and just take another breath, relax, to breathe you in right now, God, to find the hope and the courage and the encouragement that comes from only you, God. So I pray for every one of my friends right now that they would feel a fresh connection with you. They would feel, God, that the journey ahead is doable right now, God. They would sense that relief, God, that they made it. They had to get to Christ and they've gotten there, God. Whatever it is they came running to you with right now, that they would have the sense of hope that you're going to hand that to them before they leave this room. And so we thank you, God, for Genesis. We thank you for being with us today. We open our hearts, we open our minds to you, and we look forward in faith. And each and every one of us would say, amen. Say hi to a friend. Let's sing.
God, it's certainly just all about you, Lord. God, think of the part in the Bible where it says, not I, but Christ. It's not about us, Lord. It's all about you and your fame, Lord. It's all about the fact that you can heal, God, that you have the power to defeat sin, Jesus. It's all about the fact that you, God, are the answer to our prayers, God. Lord, that you'll heal every wound, God. That you'll comfort us, God. That you'll wrap your big arms around us when we are hurt and we're dying and we're lonely, God. You say, I'll be with you. And God, that's why it's all about you. So Lord, as we move into this next time of worship, Jesus, and we try to learn from you, God, Lord, please open up our minds and our eyes and our hearts so that they're receptive to what you have to say to us this morning, Jesus. We ask these things in your Son's name.
Elijah in the Old Testament was looking for God. He was in a cave and he was hiding. He was having a bad day. And a storm came by, a mighty wind. And he ran and thought God would be in the storm. God wasn't in the storm. If few moments later, it was fire and earthquake and kind of more turbulence and all. And he thought God would be in that. He runs out and God's not in that. And then after all things had settled, God whispers to him. And he found God in a still small voice. And you know, that's kind of how it feels like in here to me. You know, sometimes God is in the fast and the eruptions and the big God-like stuff. And then sometimes he's just gently whispering our names, you know. Just kind of in a still small voice, nudging you, kind of just pushing on your heart, saying, hey, I'm with you, I'm here, you know. And that's what it feels like in this room to me today, is that God has just kind of settled in among us and is in particular touching lives and homes and stories and saying, I'm with you, you know. You may not find me in the big stuff right now, but if you'll just quiet your heart, still your spirit, you'll hear me still whispering your name. Let's bow our heads and, you know, how many of you just would say, you know, I have somebody that's just desperately on my heart today that I would love to see God do something for? How many? Yeah. I mean, most of us. You know, whoever that hand represents, just like God has a plan for my life and your life, and you know, we've proved we can go off and God still is a God of grace and restoration, that whatever your hand represents right now, whoever that is, God still has a plan for their life. No matter what that would look like right now, no matter how far out of reach that seems, God has a plan. And so why don't we just hold that person before God and just pray for that plan for their life. Would you join with me? Father, I thank you, God, that your word affirms to us that there's a plan for our lives. Your word, God, lets us know that whether we've come through hell or whether we've never, ever walked away from you, the plan is still intact. And so we hold friends, we hold family members, we hold moms and dads, sons and daughters before you right now, God. We hold some of the best friends on earth before you right now, God, and we ask that right now, wherever they are, that your Holy Spirit would go find them. That there's no door you can't get through. There's no place on this earth, God, that you can't dispatch to right now. And that you would touch their hearts. You would touch their minds. You would touch their bodies, God. You would touch their stories. That right now, God, somehow, just like you've settled in with us, that you would settle in with them. And we pray, God, that we would see your handiwork, God. We ask for it quickly, but just, God, that we would be able to trust the small voices there right now. And so we thank you for all you're doing. You're a great God. In Jesus' name, and amen. Would you open your Bibles to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, please, chapter 11. We started a series last week that we're going to be in for a number of weeks. I really don't know whether that's two more after today, three more, four more, but I know there's several more weeks. And part of the way I know we're going at least a couple more weeks is I've worked on today for several days this week and had an outline and thought I knew where I was going. And then I started working on the introduction, and today's the introduction to what I was going to say, and I'll say that next week. And faith is one of these things that you start digging in on it and trying to really understand it. And it's like one of those little foam things you add water to. It's just getting bigger and bigger, man. And I really feel like God has some real clarifying things to say to us about faith. And I'm not talking about this big corporate faith, you know, a denominational thing or what Genesis is. I'm talking about for your life, for your story, for what you're going through. I feel like, you know, if you weren't here last week, go back, listen to it. It'll help you understand some things about misappropriated faith. And today what we're going to talk about is some, I'm going to call this anchor points, but it's moments in your life that you can anchor your eternity to. You can anchor your story to. You can anchor to it in the difficult, because life would be great if it was always flat and it was always kind of, you know, not too bad, not too good, but that's not life. I mean, we have good moments and we have bad. And today I hope that, kind of like last week, I gave you an assignment to go work on during the week. I'm going to give you another one, but I hope you'll really start to understand your faith. Maybe more than you did before we got into this for the next several weeks. So Hebrews 11, I want to read verse 6. You might want to keep your Bibles open. We're going to cover some more of this before we get out of here. But it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe what? Must believe what? That he is." And we could stop right there. That would be enough to talk about, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever comes to God, whoever approaches God, I mean, it's kind of a duh, is it not? You have to believe that he is. I mean, or just coming to God makes no sense. So you have to settle some issues of faith on the very beginning of this. And then this is what we're going to dig into as well today, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'm going to explain some of that before we get out of here, because that's really an important verse to understand about wrestling with your faith and all. So I'm hoping that, you know, we'll struggle some through this personally. I'm hoping that you'll go home and wrestle through your faith. I'm hoping that you'll understand your faith a little more in the next couple weeks. I'm hoping that you'll identify in your life maybe where faith is and where faith is not. You'll identify where you have faith in the wrong things, which was what we talked about last week. I hope that you'll understand how to attach your faith greater to what God is and what God says. Last week we talked about a father. A father went to Christ and he needed a miracle for his son. And Jesus, he said to Jesus, "If you could do anything, we could use your help." Remember that? And Jesus said back to him, "If you can believe, then all things are possible here today. We can do anything." And here's what the dad said. He said, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." In other words, right there in the moment of, and it said he was in tears. Remember that? He's crying because he realizes he doesn't have the faith that Christ is speaking of right now. And yet he needs a miracle for his son. And right there, in admitting he had imperfect faith, Christ healed his son. And what I said last week was that should give all of us hope, because if you think hope is a perfect statement or perfect state of mind or getting to a place to where there's no little doubt at all, then we're probably not ever going to get there. Would you agree? And so this week what we're going to talk about is the journey of faith and really understanding some things about how to wrestle with your faith, because it's not easy walking by faith. Say amen. Don't leave me hanging out on those. I mean, it's not, is it? You know, this whole journey, I mean, you being here today is by faith. I mean, everything we do, we read the Bible by faith, we pray by faith, we witness in faith. Everything we do, once we accept Christ, we all start trying to figure out how to live a Christ-centered life. And then everything is by faith. Amen? And, you know, we think it would have been easy if we walked with Christ. And yet there were people that walked with Christ. He would just stop and say, "Are you serious? Do you have little faith still? I mean, you've walked with me for this long." There were other times he would just stop and say, "It almost sounds like an affliction. You have little faith." It's like, what is your problem, you know? And we would like to think if we saw him, man, we'd have this thing nailed down. And yet people that walked with him didn't have it nailed down. The apostles didn't have it nailed down. I mean, the people that were in the inner sanctum with him still struggled with it. And so you take away all the tangible evidence, all the physical pieces, and you and I are walking 100% by faith. And that's not easy. I mean, there are times it's easy when you don't need it. That's when it's easy, right? What are you doing? Walking by faith. Bank account's full. No bills are late. Everyone's acting right. That's not faith. That's just enjoying life. Come on. It's faith when the bills are bigger than the account and there's more month than money. And then your kids are acting a fool. Amen. I think that's the second time I've ever heard you say amen. That was impressive. Anyway. I mean, we can't see him, we can't touch him, we can't hear him, we can't know him, we can't sit with him. And so we really don't fully know how to have faith. We don't even really know what to do with our faith other than go to church and read the Bible and pray and kind of go through this little set of motions. And we watch faith in different ways. Turn on the TV and watch channel 20, I think it is. I mean, watch it for an hour, cut it off, and go back 2 hours later, and you'll see faith in lots of different ways. You'll see name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. You'll see people, you know, just trust God. Just trust God. You'll see other people, I mean, very demonstrative. You've got to trust God for this. And all at once, it's like, well, how are you supposed to act? You know, do you talk with your teeth gritted when you're trusting God? And you know, the truth is, if we're not careful, we'll end up with something that really isn't faith at all. We'll end up with this routine. We'll end up with this thing that it's almost fear-based instead of faith-based. Why do you go to church? Well, I'm afraid not to. Why do you? Well, if I don't, you know, I mean, I don't want to make God mad. And it's almost like you're working the wrong side of this whole deal with God. And faith is this thing that should be really this positive element in our life, that it's good on the good days and it's still good on the bad days. And it's not tied to a feeling. It's not tied to an emotion. It's not tied to a statement. It's not tied to anything you or someone else can do. It has to be grounded and tied to the goodness and the character of God all the time. So faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 said, and it's the only place in this whole chapter where he uses the word but faith, you know, and he's talking about, you know, because over and over they say faith is, faith is, faith is. And he says, almost like a timeout. However, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, it doesn't say you're going to have a difficult time or you're going to get it right, sometimes wrong, sometimes. It just says it's what? Impossible. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what impossible means? Just say it. You know what it means? Say impossible. In the Greek, impossible means... Over on this crowd, y'all get coffee before you come in from now on. Because you must believe that he is. And that's exactly what it means. You have to believe that there is a God. You have to be able to come to a conclusion after you sift through Darwin and creation science and all the stuff and Big Bang and all that. You have to rest in the fact. What do you believe? I believe there's a God. I mean, you have to settle that. You have to be able to look at the stars and the planets, the cosmos, the birds, all of it, and say, you know what? I believe I know the guy who created all this. And you see, if you wrestle with that, I mean, if they come out with a new discovery and they put it on CNN tomorrow and your faith is rocked, then how are you going to believe God for the intricacies of your life if you can't believe God for the big story of it all? Do you see that? I mean, you just have to settle the issue that no matter what, they're not going to come out with something that rocks your faith. And so he who comes to God must believe that he is. And here's the best part. Here's the part you have to hear. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I want you to hear what the word seek means. The word seek, he rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Seek. To search for. To investigate. And here's a great word. To scrutinize. To seek out for your own self. To crave after. To demand back and require. He rewards those that diligently seek after him. Now, diligently is a little bit of effort. Amen? It's not kind of, you know, just taking it lukewarm. It's saying, you know what? I want to know some answers. I want to go after God and to scrutinize some things and to pull pieces of our faith apart and look at it and say, do I really believe that? My mama said this. Do I believe that? My mom, she's got her own Bible. Has her own quotes, Becky 3:2 and Becky 7:8. And she would quote this stuff to me, and she, you know, and it'd be like, Mom, that's not in the Bible, but it's a good saying, though, isn't it? You have to scrutinize some of this stuff and sift through, because ultimately you can't live on anyone else's belief system. And so you have to settle the issue. He or she who comes to God must believe that he is. And then you have to believe that he will reward you for diligently seeking after him, for asking the hard questions, for not taking it all in and being dumb and blind about your faith. Because I think a lot of us just are afraid to challenge what we believe in. And we've never asked the hard questions. You know, I was talking, someone came to our door yesterday, another religion, I guess they are. I don't know what they are. Anyway. And, you know, I always go door. I love talking to these people. And lady reads a scripture to me, and she says, isn't that wonderful? And I said, yeah. I said, do you know what it means? And she said, yeah. I said, well, what's that word mean? And then I taught her what the word meant. And she's like, that's a pretty wonderful description. You know? And we've got people that, if you stand at your front door for too long, if you're not careful, all at once it's like, wow, I'm not sure if I believe what you... And there's people that just coast through and never challenge their faith. As if God can't handle the challenge. And I'm going to prove to you today, before you leave, that God wants you to have a faith that you've scrutinized. And that you've wrestled with, and that you have diligently sought after him. Because if you're kind of taking a chance on this, do you see how that's not going to serve you well when life is really difficult? Do you see how when you go to pray for a friend that, you know, needs Christ, or someone that's sick, if you're taking a chance on it, do you see how you're not going to really be able to reach out and grab something of eternal value? Do you see that? And so when I came back in, I was talking to Sean, and I said, you know, I'm going to talk tomorrow about God and being able to wrestle through and believe in him. And I said, you know, you could, and I said this to Sean, I said, you could make a statement to me right now and say, you don't believe in the house we're sitting in. And I said, it's a fine statement, but the house is going to prove itself. You have come to believe you're sitting in the living room in a moment. And you can say the same thing with God. I'm not sure what I believe. God, I'm wrestling. I want to pick this to pieces. And not because I want to poke holes in my faith, but because I want a rock solid faith that I desperately believe in. And when you go through that, I'm telling you, God is not intimidated or offended to where he backs away and will leave you to where you have to walk around stupid faith. God will show himself to you in ways to where you know that you know that you know that you know that God is real. Amen? Give him a hand clap of praise today. Amen. I mean, if you're going to bank not only your life but eternity on this, you don't want to get to the other side and find out you messed it up. What if the joke's on us? I mean, that would be silly, would it not? Don't you think God wants you to know where you could look at any other belief system, any other answer, and say, you know what? I know that I know that I know that I found the key to getting to heaven, and he's in my life right now. Amen? And what about, I mean, once you settle that, you can settle that on a Monday and a Wednesday and a Friday and say, you know what? I know who's with me right now, and I know who's going to get me through this tough situation. Faith. Verse 1 said, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It's the only definition in the Bible for faith. And I guarantee you, most of us could open our Bible, go to Hebrews 11:1, read, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, put our Bible down, and still not have much of a clue on what that even means. How many agree with that? It's like, what? Okay, what's that mean? I want to know. The message, I love the message. It says that faith is the firm foundation under everything that matters in life and makes it worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. I love that. That's a paraphrase of verse 1. It's our handle. It's how we reach into the supernatural. It's how we hold God's hand by faith. It's our handle on what we can't see. Faith is the substance. It's the stuff that we're hoping for. The evidence, the conviction of things not yet seen. The conviction means that things you're praying for, the person you held before God a moment ago, it's something in here that says, you know what? I believe that God heard my prayer. And I believe that God is going to do something on that behalf. Conviction. A feeling, something in there that says what you do matters in the seen world from the unseen. Amen? Verse 3. Hebrews, by the way, 11, I don't know if you know this, we call it the Faith Hall of Fame. It's because like all the mega stars of faith are in 11, right? And verse 3 says, by faith we, that's us, understand that the worlds which were framed by the word of God, they were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And I love the way he just says that. Well, by faith, we understand that. In other words, he who comes to God must believe that he is. By faith, I believe that there's a God eternally existing that is omnipresent and he's omniscient and he's omnipotent and he's everywhere and he's all things. And he has always been and he created everything that is seen. By faith, we understand that. And then what they do in Hebrews 11, by the way, is this is where I told you a while ago. It says, by faith, and then it says, so-and-so did this. And by faith, so-and-so did this. And it's like they take this verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And then they want to give us numerous examples of what that would look like in our life. And all he says over and over by showing us is, by faith, we do something obedient. By faith, we do something obedient. By faith, we do something obedient. Because James tells us in the Bible that faith without works is dead. And he goes on to say, he says, you show me your works. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And you see, faith, it doesn't matter what you say you trust in, it really matters on what you act upon. And so you can say, I'm believing God for this, but if you act contrary to it, then do you understand your faith is probably not where it needs to be? Do you see that? And so when you say, I believe God is going to do this, and you act in accordance to it, you're acting upon the faith that you're claiming to have. And when you read Hebrews 11, and I'd encourage you to do that this week, just read and understand. I mean, they did some ridiculous stuff by faith. It's not always like, by faith, you know, we poured a cup of coffee. I mean, it's by faith. They faced the lions, and by faith, they faced the fire, and by faith, he offered his son back to God. And it even says in there, Abraham offered his first son, Isaac, back to God by faith. And it says, because he concluded by faith that God would raise his son back from the dead if he needed to. Doesn't make sense, does it? But by faith, we obey what God asks us to do. Your faith is tied to your activities. Everyone following me? Turn back to John chapter 20. I want to tell you another story before we get out of here. You know this story. This is Thomas. We always call him Doubting Thomas, right? Now remember the verse. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who, come on, diligently seek him. Jesus died on the cross, came back from the grave. He went and saw the apostles, right? And Thomas wasn't there, right? You know the story. And they say to Thomas, you're not going to believe it. Jesus was here. Jesus is alive, right? And you know what Thomas says? Doubting Thomas is what we call him, and that's really an unfair name, by the way. But he says, here's the deal. Unless I see him and touch the nail prints in his hands, I'm not going to believe. Now, again, God is not offended by our scrutinizing of our faith. He wants us to have a faith. I'm going to show it to you in a moment. And so Jesus could have just said, Thomas, you're on your own, big guy. I walked with you three and a half years. You are on your own because this was the story I told you was coming. Let's look at John chapter 20. Everyone there? Let me see. Where do I want to start? Let's start with 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, that would be a trip, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here, and put it into my side. And look what he says. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now, I want you to know something. It's the first time anyone declared Jesus as Lord and God. It had never been done his entire walk on earth. This guy finally figures it out. And it was after he said, unless I get to touch him, I'm not buying in. And Christ comes to him, did he not? I mean, it's words in red. He said, Thomas, if this is going to settle the issue, thus settle it. I don't want you to be unbelieving, but to be believing. That's words in red, right? He doesn't want you to be a skeptic. He doesn't want you to wrestle with your faith. He doesn't want you to not be able to put all your eggs in one basket. He does not want you to be unbelieving. He wants you to be believing. Are you tracking with me? Let's keep going. This is important stuff. Then Jesus, verse 29, said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen. Look at the person beside you. Now look at yourself. Good try. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Let's keep reading. This gets better. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. And look what it says next. The Son of God. Not a great historic figure. Not a great teacher. Not somebody that came and rocked the world and just happened to be the best and the nicest. Not that guy. But also the Son of God. And you have to see this next phrase, Genesis. It's important. It says, these are written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he is the Son of God. And that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, I want you to understand that word life is not only salvation. It's the word Zoe. It's that, for the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's that life. It's not just that you might have life when you get out of here and leave earth. That's not what he's saying completely. He says these things, the stories that you get to read about, they were written that you would believe, that you would have a rock solid faith, and that you would believe Jesus is the Christ, He's Messiah, He is the Savior of the world, but that you would be able to push it further than that, and that you would believe Jesus is also divine. He's the Son of God. And that by believing, you would also have life. You see, your faith not only affects eternity, you already know this. Your faith affects your Monday. And He said, I don't want you to be unbelieving. I want you to be a believer. I want you to settle the issues and be able to know that, you know what? There's nothing I could ever run into that would rock my faith. No matter how desperate of a situation I may go through, there's nothing that I could ever conclude God's not real, and I want to start living like an atheist. There was another time that Jesus was talking to the apostles, and He said to them, so what's the rumors out there? Who are people saying that I am? The apostles say, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say this and that. And then He says, well, what do you say? That's what I really want to know. What do you guys say? And Simon Peter spoke up and he said, I got it. He said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said to him? He gave him an attaboy and he said, you know what? You're right. And he said, but flesh and blood has not shown you this. My Father has revealed this to you. You see, there's going to be stuff flesh and blood can't figure out. You can put it in all the formulas you want. I mean, A squared and B squared all day long. But there's going to be things that just don't line up that equate to faith. But there should be moments, my friend, sitting right here, October 2010, where you could look back, maybe an hour ago, maybe a month ago, maybe 2 years ago, to where it was one of those Thomas moments. And He just kind of said, if that's what you need, then that's what I'm going to give you, but it's so you would believe. And I think every one of us should be able to reflect on our faith journey and find some anchor points to where, I don't know if the clouds split, I don't know how it happened for you, but you should be able to find a couple moments that they're not emotion, they're not hype, they're not, I was at a crazy service. I mean, just God in His own way made you a believer. And that's what I want you to do this next week. I want you to get a cup of coffee or whatever it is you chill out with. And I want you to seriously contemplate, where are your anchor points of faith? Where has God said, touch my hands, I want you to be a believer? Where has God said to you, you know what? The Father revealed that to you so you could be a believer. Because you see, if you can't find them, how are you going to do when all hell breaks loose in your home? How are you going to do when all hell breaks loose in your life? How are you going to do? You see, that's what Jesus said. I don't want you to be an unbeliever. I want you to be a believer. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You're Jesus. I got it. You're the Son of God. You know what? The Father showed that to you. Oh yeah, and I remember the day I got it. I remember, man, when God became more real than anything of this earth to me. And I've sat around for the last couple days. I've had these conversations with Sean. Where are your anchor points? And I mean, she's got one here, got one there, got one there. You know, I'm just looking for one. But you may be able to find in several places, but I want you to find them, because for next week's message, you're going to need to know them. For whatever your storms may be, you may need to know them now. You know what David said? David said, you know what? I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. My friend, God loves you today. He doesn't want you punching holes and asking stupid questions. But if it's sincerely tied to your faith and the way you're going to walk it out, He's not intimidated by your questions. To scrutinize your faith and to own it to where it's yours and nobody else's. How many of you will do that this week? Spend some time and contemplate your anchor points. I'm telling you, you'll be a stronger person for it, because there's things that the world and nothing else can take from you. When God puts it in there, it's good to go. Amen? I want to pray for us today. And you know, one of the things we've kind of not been able to really implement a whole lot, you know, because of, you know, cafe and then school and just trying to get some environments right, is altar calls. And I love altar calls. I love the whole concept of walking to the cross and getting on your knees and surrendering to God. I love that. And we're going to start those again, you know. If you're here today and you just need to maybe to own this message a little more, maybe your faith is a little rocked right now and you just want to link up with God, whatever it might be, I want to pray for you. I want to close in prayer, and don't leave, because I want to talk to you afterwards. But as I'm praying, you know, maybe you're thinking, man, I've not been ever to an altar call at Great Bridge High School. You will be in a second. And maybe you're thinking, it's been a long time. I remember altar calls. Maybe just for your own faith, you need to just walk up for a second. Say, you know what, God, I need to get back into some things. So as I pray, if you'd like to come spend a moment with God, I'd love for you to come up front. Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, for your goodness, God. I thank you, God, that you work through our imperfections. You work through our humanity. You work through our doubts and our insecurities. And you don't leave us to ourselves. You don't leave us to our uncertainty, God. You don't leave us to our own logic. You don't leave us out there drifting in a sea of wonderment, God. You draw us to you. And so, God, I pray that for every one of my friends, that you would give them mark your calendar kind of moments this week, God. That every one of us would be able to reflect, and every one of us would end up with just wonderful smiles, God. As we can find those moments that our lives are anchored to, and nobody can take them from us. And that will be all the better, God, for finding the places that we know you showed up. And so I pray for my friends right now that have come forward. You know every need. You know every situation. For my friends that are in the seats, you know us by name. You know us better than we know ourselves. And so I pray, God, that our time together every week will be of eternal value. And right now, God, something huge is happening. I so thank you, God. I pray for those closest to you and those farthest from you, that they would realize, God, it is great to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to walk in the grace of Jesus Christ. Give all honor and all praise to only you. And each and every one of us would just give God a ridiculous hand clap of praise and tell him thank you. I love you guys, and this is awesome, by the way, and I hope that we get more, you know, somewhere in our past, we knew the altars were open the time you got in this room till the time you got out. And I hope you begin to know that again. To whether it's during a song or during a message or just 'cause you want to come pray, you come pray. and you'll find somebody here that loves you enough to pray with you. Amen. I love you guys. A couple things going on. If you're a guest here, we'd love for you to fill out a guest card and make that your offering. That would be a blessing to us. We just want to tell you thanks for being with us. And also, you know, we're trying to do our first big community event, October 31. We need lots of Reese cups. Some things never change. We do need candy. We'd love for you to all bring a bag of candy. But also, we're going to need help. You know, we need someone to sign up, help with a booth or whatever. And all the sign-up stuff is out there. But just help us reach this community. And, you know, I want to encourage you in your giving. You guys are giving, I mean, off the chart. And I want to encourage you that God knows you by name. And He will bless you in ways that you can't contain. Amen. I want to give Him one more hand clap of praise today. Yes. Hey, let's give it up for our worship team, media team, setup team also. They're a great. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great day. And we'll see you next Sunday. Don't forget sign-ups. God bless you.